Tell him, Steve Dave.
Hello and welcome to this week's live edition of Tell 'Em Steve Dave. BQ is here, live.
Hey, I'm live.
Walt is here, live. Ming is here, live.
What's up, everybody?
And I am here, live. Walt, I'd like to start this week by telling people that they kind of misunderstood something last week. What I was trying to get at was very concerned for Precious's health, and I want to apologize to anyone who thought I was simply commenting on her physique.
Right.
Which is sexy. She's a sex symbol, okay? Not fat. She's plus size, and plenty of people like it.
Jeez, we can't edit that out.
No. Oh, can't cut that shit out.
We're live.
Yeah. Well,
you've been planning that from the moment we ended that episode.
Minutes after we ended.
We went out to dinner afterwards and he was like, I can't wait to start the next episode. What a retraction.
So, Walt, you wanted to have a live episode this week. There must be a special reason because you're not the live type guy.
No, it's me.
This wasn't my idea.
Oh, this was yours?
My idea.
This was BQ's idea.
Because we could be making tons of money doing live shows. But
no, it was my idea. For one special reason.
What's that?
You know, tomorrow's Thanksgiving, and I felt that we owed it to the ants to give them some sort of signal that we have the Christmas episode coming out on Friday.
Okay, so an hour-long commercial.
Yes, basically.
All right. I hear you.
But a live hour-long commercial.
What more could you ask?
Well, I envisioned it almost as like what's it called? Like a bookend. Like this is a companion pod to the Christmas episode.
Okay.
You know, this is like almost like a Thanksgiving episode.
Yeah.
And then after you're done eating all your Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow, around midnight, you go to TSDXmas.com and you can now direct you right.
I thought it was TSD Christmas.
You would be right on that too.
Oh,
we have two domain names.
Wow.
Because I remember last week there was some confusion.
Yeah, it's TSDXmas.com and you can go there on Thursday at midnight, which I guess, well, it's Friday at midnight. I don't know. That's always midnight. On Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving night when the second hand ticks over to 12 and 1 second on Friday, Black Friday, you can start hitting that button and buying it.
Bam. I'm going to be busting down the doors when that happens. I'm mowing over an immigrant, like Walmart employee to get like that 1 year.
Do they just put, to get this do you think at Walmart, Ming, do you think they put the greeter out for that day?
Oh, yeah.
I think they've done away with the greeter anyway.
No, I saw a greeter the other day.
Really?
I went in and it was a lady
I'm
who
glad
I
to
wasn't.
Hear they still got it, though.
So our retirement plans are still in place.
No, you got to have the greeter. Got to have the greeter.
If they put this particular greeter out there, they better have a fucking medic on standby because there's no way she can dodge the people. I was looking at some of the Black Friday deals and I've always been like, no fucking way. No way.
It's too good to be
would
true.
Would I ever line up?
Oh no, it's not good. It's not good enough to be. It's not good enough to get you to line up.
Well, I mean, I have TV, so I don't need it. But like some of the deals on TVs, but of course, there's three. So it's not like we have an unlimited supply of 50-inch TVs for $500, which is a pretty decent deal, I guess. Or like a 32-inch, which seems small by today's standards, for like $140. Mm. But there's only three or four of them. So
I thought it was against the law to do that.
I don't know. I guess
it's called bait and switch.
Yeah.
Well, I think if they put limited supplies available, maybe that helps them get away with it.
Do you guys hear the TV show Nathan For You? Have you heard of this or watched any of it?
Oh, good. Thanks to you. Yes, I'm totally caught up.
Fucking greatest! It's so funny, this show. But you saw the episode where he ran the deal in the electronics store, and he put the alligator. He put the deals. He goes in and he helps shops. It's like a reality show, but he's fucking around.
Like failing businesses, except he's not like the restaurant guy who screams and goes crazy. He approaches.
Oh, he goes with outlandish things to see if they'll go along with it.
And they always go along with it. And he had this deal where he sold these televisions for $1. for $1 a piece just so he could go to Best Buy and price match and get them. But to get the dollar TVs from the store he was in, you have to go through this little door.
Well, first you have to dress nicely, which meant a tuxedo.
Yeah, there's a dress code, so half the people can't come in the store to begin with. And then at the back of the store, there's a tiny door that you got to crawl through, and there's an alligator on the other side, live alligator, in between you and the television set.
Do you remember? Oh, my God. I just remembered this. Do you remember at the community center when we were kids, a place where kids gathered for like a safe place, you know, to go and have, play and get help with homework? We had an alligator in the room where the kids were that was at least the size of this table.
Holy shit.
That's like six, seven feet. It was in a glass tank.
A real live alligator.
And all that was separating you from the alligator was this little wooden
a plank?
Like a little plank. Yeah.
What a life for that alligator. To just sit there, you can't turn around.
Did no one see that 70s TV show where the alligator gets flushed down the toilet and grows up and terrorizes the town? No one saw that.
I'm not kidding. For years, that alligator was at that place. And if we played Nerf basketball in the building, if the ball went over by the alligator, and people were like, you go get it. No, you go get it. And you'd have to go in underneath the plank and you can make the alligator move in the tank and scare the crap out of people.
It's so bizarre, but I would never have remembered that again if you hadn't just mentioned it. But it is such a fucking vivid, weird, can you imagine that today?
No.
It sounds like it would be on that show.
Yeah.
It really does. And the best thing about this guy is, I think he rivals, if not better than Sacha Baron Cohen in terms of his almost – he seems like he has Asperger's. Affectless demeanor. He just – the shit he says
– Comedy Central.
Comedy Central.
Well, you'll love it.
What's it called again?
Nathan For You.
Nathan For You. I'm going to go watch that.
Really good. The awkwardness that ensues, especially when he's talking to girls. There was this one where he was trying to get – it was the Best Buy one. And he was looking for former Best Buy dealers and he dressed up
– as a Hot Topic.
Now, the nerdiest motherfucker you ever saw, dressed in a Hot Topic outfit and trying to be
cool. He put fake lip piercings in.
And just the way he if he tries to hug a girl, they always back off and he never breaks character. He never smiles. He just accepts it. Oh, it's really genius.
Great. It's a great show.
So fucking genius. A while back I got a tweet from someone who said that the problems with my neighbors were my fault.
Oh, I remember this.
Right? That I'm the one who's the jerk off and I'm the one who's always starting with people. Now in our apartment complex.
And you don't agree with that.
I couldn't disagree more. And this is the final statement in my argument against that.
Okay.
In our parking lot, there are way too many cars. Now we have to pay in this complex to park. It's $15 a space per month. So I pay $360 a year.
Pricey.
To park a car.
Yeah.
Now, there's so many cars that I'm like, well, I don't really need to take up a whole space with my bike. So I'll park it along the curb and then pull the car into the same space and that will give somebody else – it opens up a space for somebody.
And you don't have
it
to
also
pay.
Saves you money.
No, I would still pay. I'm still paying for it, yeah.
Two spots?
Two spots.
You're still paying for two spots?
I would still be paying for two spots, okay.
Really?
Yeah, but
so
I was –
So why are you paying for
two spots then? I mean, you don't need them.
Because in the event maybe I ever had to, I'm like, there it is. It's there and I don't have to worry about it. It's $15 a month, 50 cents a day. I'm like, whatever. I could feed a kid in Africa or I can insure my spot.
Obviously, you have to go for the spot.
I got to go for the spot. Yeah. So one day this Mini Cooper pulls in.
To your spot.
To my spot with my bike in it. Suzanne happens to see the guy and says, hey, can you move that out of there? My boyfriend is going to bring his motorcycle out later. The guy's apologetic. He says, okay. Last night, there's a SUV parked in front of the bike now. Now, if you see a motorcycle in there.
But do you think that you don't move in there?
You just don't because you might hit it.
Sure.
It's obviously –
person needs to get out.
Yeah. What if I need to get out?
Course.
Because I do ride. I rode it 2 days ago.
Right.
So I put a note on the windshield and basically explain the situation. I'm not an asshole about it. I just say, hey, can you move your car? My bike is in there. And if I need to get it out, I'm not going to be able to.
Can you just kick the kickstand up and just walk the bike around?
No, because there's a car on the other side. Like, I'm parked up against like a barrier, mm-hmm. like a
if that car wasn't there, grass thing.
If another car wasn't there, sure, then I could. But I shouldn't really have to spin the fucking shit. 30, really. Yeah, I don't have to spin the roulette wheel. So they eventually move. I guess they went somewhere else. I don't know if they even live there or not. This is the fucking note that I find on my car. So they must know who I was. It says asshole.
In big girly letters.
That's girl asshole. Writing, right?
Yeah, that is, girl yeah, writing, yeah. Yes.
That is somebody who thought, at first also thought, well, maybe I'll make a capital H and then, or a lowercase H and like, no. Let me make
hold that up. Hold that up.
There you go. There's
people are saying that the live episode is not working.
It's working. You guys are too popular. There's a crush right now. Just keep trying.
Every single person is saying that I can't hear.
We got a million people trying.
Can't
right
hear?
It's too good. Popular.
You're too
we've,
popular.
We've not
breaking the internet.
You did break the internet. Yes.
But Ming, do you remember when we were doing that live stuff? People. People are saying we broke the internet.
You can't get preoccupied with a queue. You can't.
We just gotta go through it. The people who can listen.
And people who will listen later.
I thought I was the only one who couldn't hear anything. I've tried multiple devices. God, is it because Ming? You would know this. Is it because the SMOD network stuff sucks ass? We're live. Is that the reason?
Don't blame me for that. We're all here. We're all recording.
Declan sent me this live. Just in case you guys were to get a little hot button.
Alert! Hot button issue.
Was that the magic word for today? Every time.
All right. I'm gonna say. Let me know. If
I told him I wouldn't need it because there's not a chance working. These guys could goad me into saying something that I'm going to regret later. I've spent the last 4 days, reminding myself
live. I heard Ming walking around in circles saying the N-word 1,000 times.
I think I got it out by now.
So tomorrow's Thanksgiving.
Yes.
For America.
Live. I have the tomorrow's my struggle.
Oh, good Lord. Everyone's saying it doesn't work.
It's not everybody.
You can't get focused on that.
Okay. All right.
Some people are saying it's working.
Okay. And you know what we'll do? Ming, can't we? We can replay this, right? Like later on tonight?
Hold on. Ming's getting a phone call.
What the hell, man?
Who is it?
I have no idea.
They're calling in to say that
I guess so. I have no idea. Some kid's calling me. Anyways.
What do you guys got planned for tomorrow on Thanksgiving, Q? What are you doing?
Tomorrow continues the fight with my Japanese niece to get that fucking apple.
Yeah.
The turkey ass apple.
The Japanese apple.
I imagine it's not a fight at this point any longer. I mean, she sees her uncle on television. I'm sure that they just give you the entire turkey and take whatever you give them.
Yeah, like what? Like we'll eat leftovers tomorrow. Like he's sitting there with a giant fucking turkey leg. Just like,
Uncle Brian,
it's good to be king.
So where is that at? Is that in?
That's in beautiful Poconos, Pennsylvania.
Oh yeah,
taking the drive up tomorrow.
To go in tomorrow? Huh? You're not going to go tonight to beat the traffic?
Nah.
No.
I'll bet there's more traffic tonight than tomorrow.
You think so?
Yeah. Thanksgiving, like traditionally, I always used to go to the movie. Thanksgiving and Christmas, and there's like hardly any traffic on the road.
Where about you, Brian? Where will you be spending Thanksgiving this year?
I'll be in beautiful Highlands, most likely.
Oh yeah, going to Pam and Edgar's?
Going to Pam and Edgar's. From what I understand, not many people can make it. So.
Oh, the family, you mean?
Yeah, so that's good for me.
Oh yeah, who can't make it?
My sister can't make it.
What about Darren?
I don't think Darren's even in the state. I think he's working.
Oh,
Eric
wow.
lives in California, of course. Him, I'd
so
like to
at least,
see.
Well, at least
the favorite son.
Yeah, I was gonna say at least the number one son is gonna be there to make it a
the
nice
TV star.
Yeah,
the TV star son is coming for dinner.
Yeah.
That's you got to get props for that. You're on TV and you're still going back.
They've got to respect that.
You don't live in the basement anymore. Yeah. You know, you're moving up in the world.
I could stay home. I could troll the internet to see if there any restaurants are open. The world is my oyster.
Is it the Johnsons? How extravagant is Thanksgiving? Does Pam go all out?
Well, if you consider drying out the turkey, not making gravy.
She doesn't make gravy. Why?
I don't know. I don't know.
Like if that's one of the things that you like. She just forget, or she's just like, no, we don't need it.
I think she at this point she's still like my God bless her. She's not that. In fact, she's a bad cook. I think I told you this one time. It was very snarky of me. Maybe I shouldn't have said it.
But, get out of here.
But she,
wow. Get the fuck out of here. You.
Get ready for that. Get ready for that hot button. She goes,
alert. Look what hot I button issue.
She goes, wild. Oh, look what I found that Tracy gave me a long time ago. And it's like those cheesy clay looking like world's greatest dad, world's greatest fisherman, world's greatest cook.
Right.
And I said, somebody gave that to you? And she goes, you don't think I'm a great cook? And she starts crying. She started crying.
That's a sign of probably some other emotional problems going on.
You look at any of us, and what we do is easily explained by some sort of mental disorder, personality defect, whatever. And I looked at her and I said,
How did you make it up to her?
I said, I know professional chefs. You know, Mosher's wife, professional sure. chef. Mike. I said, "Was it?
Mike Zapsik.
I didn't cite Mike. Maybe I should have, you know, to bolster my argument. But I said, you know, come on. These people, they've been doing it for decades. They don't just put like chicken into bake at 350 until they hope it's not raw anymore. They don't, you know, make steak the same way.
Thanksgiving, mama. Yeah.
You suck. Yeah.
I'm going to AMC for Thanksgiving. I'm out here.
And you wonder why the other members of the family are like, not this year, wind. Ma. Yeah. Is Brian coming? Yeah. Not this year, Ma. Yeah.
It's more like, is Brian coming?
I'm gonna fire up. I'm not gonna do it, Walt, with video, just audio, Periscope.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So that people can listen on Periscope if they're not able to get on the feed.
That's a good idea.
Okay.
Quick, I'll tell people
great
too.
Great quick thinking.
How do people find it though?
Well, that's just on right now. Twitter, yes.
Okay. They oh boy.
Yeah, it's good. All right.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right, what about you, Ming? What about you? Where are you going to be for Thanksgiving?
I'll be here.
Sure.
Usually I'm in Ohio, but
– Oh, I thought you meant here at the stash. I was like, oh, please don't tell me.
No, I'm not going to be here.
That's Saturday.
Usually I go to town. I'm in Ohio.
Yeah, I was surprised you were around because usually you're in Ohio.
Yeah, this year my sister-in-law was like, we're doing Thanksgiving at your house. Like didn't even I asked my wife. I was like, why did you agree to this? Because I didn't really – you know, it's a lot of work.
Well, have you ever had it at your house?
No, never.
So –
who would want to, right, Ming?
Yeah.
Who the fuck would want to?
Yeah, how much work is it for really you, though, Ming? Or is it more work for your mom? I mean, for your wife, right?
We're both cooking, so.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, we're both cooking. But, you know, you got to clean the house. You got to, you know, you got to make sure everybody's happy. You got to make sure you have enough for everybody.
How many people you got coming? And your house is not, like,
huge. It's not huge. No, we got.
Yeah, it would be like my place. It's kind of small.
My sister-in-law and her family, so that's five people. And then her father-in-law is coming, too. So that's six people.
What time will they arrive?
They're going to the parade tomorrow. So they'll
be New York City?
Oh my God, why?
Yeah, I know. That's what I asked them. I was like, why would you want to do that? But they're from out of town. They've always wanted to do it.
Well, you know what? At least I would give them props though, because this year, you know, there's a lot of people probably staying home because of all the warnings and all the so you got to give it up for those Ohioans.
Yeah.
Oh, because of the bombs?
Yeah, I mean they deserve a good meal when they get back here.
They're the brave ones. If you only knew. If you only knew.
That's a thing. I mean, because, you know, you go to that parade, you don't know where that suicide bomber could be coming from. It could be a Catholic, a Methodist, a Wiccan. There's any number.
Absolutely.
There's any number of religions who could potentially.
Wiccan suicide bombers?
Yes.
Are ratcheting
snake handling
up.
Suicide bombers.
You've pressed that button, haven't you? What the fuck?
That was the hot button.
All right. Alert. Hot button issues.
I'll be going to my brother-in-law. First year I have not been. It hasn't been at my house Thanksgiving in a long time.
Because you're not in your house right now.
Right.
Nobody can figure out their way in. You've made so many fake walls.
I'm trying to fucking – hold on.
It's not working?
No, it's working.
We're on you the whole time.
We're streaming. No, it's not on me. I'm trying to get it on the table. Man, you want to tell everybody what we're doing?
I thought this is audio only. Hello. This is live. Tell him, Steve. Dave.
I thought it was audio
very,
only.
Very, very rare live episode. We got Walt Flanagan with Brian
Johnson.
Well,
I'm not putting the guys on the camera, okay, but you I'm got trying me. To stream it. Yes, man.
Yes. Try to get in. Smodcast.com/SIR or just keep this up.
Yes. I'm
why
are
they
going
to keep trying to get in if they can't get in now?
You guys are overloading everything. So the people who are in, who got in early, are on.
Okay. All right.
All right.
So that's good for you being, you know how you line up before Black Friday?
Yes.
People get in line like an hour ahead. Yes. Well, those guys got the TVs.
Yeah. Ryan Ingram on Twitter says, Stitcher's working for me. Had to persevere. Everybody keep trying. Right. Okay.
Well, now it's streaming on the Periscope as well, so people can go there.
Michelle Speckman. Such a fucking 13%er that she paid for the monthly Smodcast subscription and tune in.
And she can't
so
hear?
So she can get it.
Oh, all right.
Sierra Morgan says it works on TuneIn. All right.
All right.
There you go. I didn't fuck up.
So.
No.
I only sort of fucked up. So.
Yeah.
No,
it's not your fault, man. It's a fucking
fault.
Internet.
Can't blame you, man.
Yeah,
it would be as if we were like, hey, here's the newest picture of Kim Kardashian's ass. And then all of a sudden, right?
That's a great ass, though.
Mm-hmm. Really? You like that big ass?
I don't mind the big ass. Oh. I like a rainbow of asses.
You do, huh?
All female. I like a rainbow of female asses.
You had to put that in there. With that little caveat, I'm surprised that you thought you needed to do that.
Well, I'll tell you why he thinks he needs to do it. I'm going to show you this. Ming, you might want to take a picture. No, you know what? I'll tweet the picture.
Okay.
I think I know why Quinn is totally into this whole Miley Cyrus and going to see her every other weekend.
What does she do? Hold on.
This is it. This is why Q is rocking and rolling to Miley Cyrus.
Because she's rocking.
Bi-weekly.
Well, I saw her once at a free party that I didn't pay to go to.
Now this girl's, what, 21 or so? Now, she has fans that are still fairly young. You bring your fucking kid to this concert and she comes
out.
That's
not on
like
Miley.
That?
That's not on Miley.
But that's not on her.
Parents.
On who's her parents?
Well, no, the kid, the concert girl.
The concert
girl's
parents.
Wait, but why you say that, though?
Because it's not her. She's doing her thing.
But they don't know that's her thing.
They know that? It's available on the internet.
I didn't know that was her thing. Somebody.
Come on. Who's going to assume that? What's her name on that television, that Walt Disney show? Hannah Montana?
I don't think. I don't
to be wearing
Hannah Montana.
A 10-inch dildo when you go to see her.
Walt, I don't have a child, so maybe I can't speak to this. But if I had a child who I was responsible for their welfare, I wouldn't assume anything.
Okay.
I wouldn't assume anything safe.
This really scares me because last month you said, hey, Walt, you want to bring you and your family to the Impractical Jokers Radio City Music Hall? And I said, I would love to. I said, but I'm a little concerned. They watch
you.
You
asked.
They're all going to be wearing giant dildos.
Are you with Sal and Murr and Joe going to be wearing dildos? And you assured me no.
Right. And you know the answer because you bothered to ask. You were a responsible parent. You were like, hey, can I bring my kids to this? You did the proper research.
Are they going to be wearing dildos? I would not have thought that either. Did you check out Marina and the Diamonds? Like, did you go to their site or?
I don't think anybody anticipates.
No one.
That's
right?
Going to happen. That's going to when she walks out on stage.
Well,
that's what she's going to be doing.
Now
and this
they
has
do.
To be an orchestrated, because she doesn't want those parents with the children fans anymore. She wants an older, more dangerous fan base. That is all done on purpose, and that is to weed out and get rid of and forever destroy Hannah Montana.
Hannah Montana?
Very good.
Well, this is way more profitable, I think.
Which is
really
more profitable.
This?
Sure.
Listening to this bullshit.
She made a fortune as Hannah.
Disney made a fortune in China. That's probably, yeah, I don't know if she made a fortune.
I bet you she did, all right. But how? Like, who is going to see this? I mean, now you would never have gone out of your way to see her at the like in concert.
No,
like you saw her at the upfronts.
Right?
Was Mike there? Or Mike was not invited to the upfronts. I'm not sure.
Mike Zapsik?
Yeah. Was
it? You know, we can't edit this stuff out. This is live. Okay.
That's an old joke. Old joke.
But you're right. Well, like you're thinking in your mind, Hannah Montana. And if you haven't seen this, this progression into this.
But she had. But in her defense, though, in Q's defense, though, she has been on the she's been on the major making major news with her new
persona.
Persona.
Has the music changed at all? Is it the same shitty
like
music?
Funkadelic, or? It's like the only time I've ever heard her song was that. So yeah. It sounded, you know, like a drug thing to me.
Okay.
So she's also she's got people on stage dressed like joints. She got like this big fat woman dressed like a pot with like a smoking pot.
And people
I saw with a super fat plus size black lady.
Yeah, that was it.
Oh yeah, with pasties and she's like pretending she's sucking her boob. Yeah. Oh, it's vile. Hmm. Vile. You'd walk right out the door.
But she's also been in this mode for years. Who hasn't gotten the message?
Well, it's been
thinking of going to Hannah Montana.
It's been a slow
or
down
Hannah Montana.
I'm able to flip flop. I see your side, but also you got to come on our side. The working parents, the guys who work, and the mothers who work 45 hours a week, who can't stay on top of Hannah Montana's new degradation and sodomization of Hannah Montana at this point. She's destroying it. She's urinating on Hannah Montana.
Yeah. Hannah Montana made her. And now she's like, she's pissing through that giant right cock she's wearing all over it.
But like I said, you know, parents, they got to go to work. They got their own, they cannot keep up on what she's doing. So you got to give them a break too.
Right.
So maybe it should be a 21 or an 18 or older tickets only.
I agree.
For her.
Like, let's say you went to, like, yes, I agree. Let's say you went to, like, Rob Zombie, and when you went in there, he was dressed like a glam rocker. Like, he was dressed like he was in Poison or something. You'd be like, what the fuck happened?
But I wouldn't be like, oh, I hate this. I'd be like, oh, that's cool, man. It's just a new, unexpected. He's not got a dildo on, right?
Maybe.
I mean, the glam thing would be okay with me. I wouldn't care, but like, I wouldn't even care about the dildo. Again, that's because I'm there.
Right.
If my kid was into Rob Zombie, I might be like, we may have to cut this show early. We may have to. We got to beat with the crowd out of here.
Right. I hate to boast, but I went to a Rob Zombie show not so long ago, very close up, so I could see everything. It was more appropriate for girls your age than this shit.
Yeah.
For sure. Than Hannah Montana. Oh, absolutely. You know, maybe a couple little curses here and there, but like everything was more like oriented towards like horror, like weird masks and like Piggy plays this fucking awesome crucifix base.
Do you not agree, Q, that she's doing this? This is very thought out. This is to destroy that image.
I think so,
Disney.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm pansexual. This, I'm that. I got a dildo on. I'm sucking big fat boobies.
She's got to like shatter that image so that no one ever.
Well, how much money could you possibly make as Hannah Montana after all these years? You got to branch out.
Yeah, but you can branch out in a way and become a respected artist also without.
Yeah.
Dildos.
I'm not saying you can still be a respected artist. I'm not saying that she's not respected doing this.
Yeah.
But there, you know, there's extremes and there's, you know, you don't have to go that extreme and still gain acceptance as a legitimate artist.
But she did, and it's working for her, so you can't really argue with success.
People say that you're too busy looking at your Periscope comments to pay attention, Q.
I shut Periscope down.
Oh, did you?
So why don't they go fucking –
So now nobody's hearing it again? Somebody said they were trying to listen, but there's too many hearts, I guess, of people like you. Hearts.
Oh, yeah.
That's so many hearts that they can't even see you on there.
All right. Yeah, Quinn gets a lot of hearts, I guess.
Does. Oh, yeah. It's a heart drop.
Big time.
Somebody says never again will I see.
I look like Jabba the Hutt. I couldn't fucking.
Never again will I see Hannah Montana without thinking of Walt in a spaghetti sauce commercial.
Your ragu and shit.
All right. Yeah, for anybody who's asking if we're going to record this, yes, we are.
It is being recorded.
You may not be hearing this right now to know.
It is being recorded, I assure you.
So are we going to get to the meat of it, Walt?
Yeah. I
mean, we have meat?
This is the warm and fuzzy part of the episode. A couple years ago. I don't know if you guys remember. I'm not sure.
Can you vamp for 1 second? I just had to run to the bathroom.
Yeah. A couple years ago.
Periscope
in? Yeah.
Yeah.
Periscope your dick.
We did an episode built around an aunt who had contacted me who was pretty sick.
Right.
And he had all these bullet points that he wanted us to talk about. And I told him that I would, you know, I would build a show around his interests. And he wanted to tell him Steve Dave's thoughts on the things that he was interested in.
Right. And we did that for him.
We did that for
him. Because he was very sick, right?
Yeah.
And we didn't know if he was for this world. We were worried.
It sounded like he was very, very sick. And I wanted to do it. I told him we would do it every year. You know, he would send me the bullet points. Last year I didn't hear from him.
Right.
And I didn't reach out because I was like, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know. It was a very awkward thing. I didn't know whether I should reach out. And I probably should have. But I didn't. But a couple weeks ago this particular aunt sent me an email seeing how things were.
Are we getting scammed? Because 1 second this guy's on his way out the door, and now we're doing fucking 3 years in a row with this guy?
Well, we didn't do it last year, so this will be the third year still in a row. Man,
you guys are better than J.J. Abrams, or that sick kid who wanted to see Star Wars early.
Star Wars, right?
Yeah, and he got to see it.
I didn't hear about this. Tell me this. What?
Yeah, there was a sick kid. He had cancer. He's like, listen, I got maybe a month, 2 months left to live. I'm not going to be able to see Star Wars when it comes out. Can you
see it early?
Can you bring it to my house? That's my last dying wish is to see it. And they did it.
They did.
He died two days after.
Yeah. So he had the decency to die, not like this guy.
That's what I'm saying. That's what you missed while you were in the bathroom. Okay. I'm in full agreement.
I thought we were doing a nice Thanksgiving. Q is accusing this of being a scam.
What is he
getting out of us? It's not like he's seen Star Wars.
Attention. We're fucking.
He's getting us to talk about what he wants us to talk about.
I got a feeling, Q.
Yeah.
Every one of these bullet points you are going to want to talk about.
Really?
I think he grew up in your glory days.
All right. Well, then I'm interested. But if he's still alive next year, I'm going to be pretty upset.
Yeah.
At this guy.
This is fucking ridiculous. What does he have?
He's got some major stuff going on, and
it can't be that fucking major.
Well. I mean, his mother actually sent the email because he was too weak to type.
Oh, now we're getting into – okay,
all
right.
I'll tell you this.
That's a little better.
He's going to be listening. So I
says think, him. I mean, if he can get through on the feed.
Yeah, you don't know that.
did he give me hearts on Periscope? Is he strong enough to give me hearts?
Mom, type a heart to Quinn.
So how much goodwill did J.J. Abrams get by doing that?
Oh, I mean, it was pretty good. I mean,
right? I mean, that's pretty...
Oh, fuck him. That's so easy.
What?
It's so easy. You're the director of Star Wars, right? You have the ability to show it to a fucking make-a-wish kid. He didn't have to do it, but he had to do it.
He didn't have to do it. You know, the argument is now this opens up the door for all other sick people.
And why shouldn't they, though? Why shouldn't that door be open, though?
I'm sick. Why can't I fucking see it?
Yeah, he's got diarrhea, man.
I have a major GI fucking bug in my stomach, man.
I don't think
JJ.
I don't think what you're listening is worthy of seeing Star Wars early. Maybe I don't know. Maybe you can get a.
I can watch that old DVD that I watched that night. I thought I was going to die.
Oh, yeah. Star Wars. I was going to say, maybe the holiday special.
Freaking itchy and lumpy.
This is pretty good, I guess, JJ. It's like, I'm not JJ. I'm your
freaking
father.
Freaking B. Arthur and shit.
What are you doing here, Dad?
Kill me now.
Make sure you died.
But okay, so the aunt, his name was Curtis, and these – are Curtis's talking points for the episode.
What does he have again? Did we know or no?
I mean, do we really want to go into what he has?
Oh, I thought maybe he
said. I think everybody deserves to hear what he has.
I, I'm sure it's
there better be
I'm
something
sure it's pretty
awful.
Obvious.
You don't know what he has.
Oh, I know what it
is. Do you?
Yeah.
Is it like a cancer?
Yeah.
Right. Why does – I mean, I know there's a difference, but like if you hear somebody has leukemia, for some reason that sounds so awful.
Well, that's cancer of the blood.
Oh, is that what leukemia is? Whereas cancer, you're like, I think I could probably fix it.
Yeah.
Who says they could probably fix it?
I don't know. I know a lot of people.
What's your sources on this?
Hold on. Let me look it up on the internet.
I love this. Like, is it the good cancer or the bad cancer? Like, there's no such thing as all bad.
All right. We'll give it to you, Curtis. But next year, don't try this shit.
All right. So the first one of his first talking points, we're going to take you back, Q, to October 18th, 1985. What were you doing in 1985, Q?
Geez, I was 9.
9. Okay. So yeah. I'm going to guess that you probably were a candidate and probably were a big fan of this. Brian, 1985.
We were in 11th grade.
We're in 11th grade. We're we're just about our way to make our way in the world.
Right.
To leave.
We're about to leave
the
nest.
To the glorious futures that you ended up on here today.
I think I went on to sleep on my parents' floor because I had to give my room to my brothers. Then I went on to sleep at my grandmother's. Cut to 1998. All right. Why is this about me?
It's been a long, strange road.
Yeah. You wouldn't have thought it, right? You think back to the bowling league, like, you know, begging for change.
Oh, my God. People love the Four Horsemen, huh?
Yeah.
We're probably going to have to do some Four Horsemen merchandise in 2016.
You guys texted me the greatest thing when we make a bowling shirt that says Four Horsemen, but it's only 3 of us. It's like fucked up. Like, we're the Four Horsemen.
I love it, right? Like, there's only three.
Oh, it's fucking hysterical.
All right. So October 18th, 1985, the very first Nintendo NES is released. You got anything for us, Ming?
Of course he does. Listen to this.
Oh, I can hear. Okay, good. Q, did you have the NES?
Well, I have a feel-good story about this.
On our Thanksgiving episode?
I have a feel-good story about this.
And I have a matching feel-bad story that you were involved in, Walt, if you remember.
I don't remember, but let's hear the feel-good one first.
1985, the NES was out, and I wanted it. My parents would not get it for me.
Why?
They just – I guess it was too expensive. It was $100.
Yeah, back then, that's a lot of money.
It was $100.
It's a lot of money now.
Sure, it's a fucking $100. It's a big-ticket item. If I learned anything, so I learned that these video game systems are big ticket items.
Sorry, I feel your pain, Q. Now you know how I feel. I never got anything. So
did you get Xbox One, Q? Did you buy it?
I bought it.
And you have PS4 as well?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. What system doesn't this fucker have?
Yeah.
I see him online begging for games early like a fucking cancer-stricken
kid. Really? He's trying to get Fallout early.
Oh, I'm sick.
I got cancer. Something.
At least it's not in my thumb so I can play this game.
Yeah. Turns out there's no cure. Fucking Brian.
Somebody get me a Pip-Boy.
So, all right, get back to your feel-good story. Right. Your parents won't get it for you.
Your parents won't get it for me. Enter my Aunt Anne, who straight out looked at my parents in the eyes and like, you guys are ridiculous. Get this. Everybody else has them. Get it for them.
$216, Q, in today's world.
In today's money. Mm-hmm. Come Christmas, my aunt got me the NES system,
whoa,
which must have fucking put her in – you know, she had four kids of her own.
So what was your relationship like?
Very close with that side of the family, like the Murphys. And I was recently able to repay her kindness by paying for her
giving it back.
I bought my aunt a vacation.
That is in my mind.
The Joker's Cruise.
Half price. I was going to try to get you on
50% off at the bar.
Front row seats to Space Monkeys.
The liquor not included.
Hey, could my aunt play that to get entertainment too?
I was like, for that NES system.
You didn't mention that to her, right?
No, I didn't mention it.
That's
just in my mind.
That is nice.
Yeah, that's a nice story.
I love how you never forgot.
You sent her on a vacation. Where did she go?
No, the Joker's Cruise. She's coming on.
You're not kidding?
Yeah, but I had to pay for it. I had to pay for the cruise.
Oh, my God. Are you
kidding? No! What are you talking about? I had to pay for a flight to get down there for a hotel the night before?
You don't, you're telling me you don't got comp rooms?
Oh, my God.
On that
cruise? No, she didn't get a comp room. I had to pay for a room.
Oh, my God.
Get the fuck out. I paid for a flight down there, the hotel the night before, the hotel the night off, and I paid for a cruise.
That's like me giving my aunt a fucking gift certificate to the stash. That is
like no, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Like how is that comparable at all? That's bullshit. It's a cruise.
I swear, I joke. Like my mind went to like.
Oh, I thought I told you. God. That's why you brought it up.
No, I'm like, what would be the funniest / saddest fucking vacation he could send her on?
Love, you were kidding. You were kidding.
Now, in all fairness, as we see, it was only roughly $200, but it was the thought that counts.
Yeah.
So. Today,
this
I mean,
cruise package.
I'll bet you that's expensive, though.
The cruise?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't get her in, like, I didn't put her in steerage. I got her the best room I could get her.
She's sharing a room with me. Or the dude who won last week.
The flight alone is worth more than the NES to get it down there.
All right. You don't have to justify
it. Are you
going to
bring it up to her?
Wow. Now I feel people on the boat are going to bring it up to her.
Wow.
So young BQ, 10 years old, gets the NES. Yeah. What is that like for you? Is that your first game system?
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
I had an Atari.
That's young. That's a 9-year-old beat you.
Yeah. I can't believe it.
It sounds like Italian Mickey Mouse.
This is fucking awesome. Yeah, or the ghetto version. My parents suck.
Yeah, right?
They got to go down to the car. Why don't you hear what I want? Put it in the window.
It's Phil Silver. What?
Your first entertainment system.
Yeah.
And I think this definitely puts you on the road to being a game addict, right?
Without a doubt. That Mario Brothers game.
How many hours did you spend playing Mario Brothers?
I couldn't even tally them.
Really?
That was my thing. Yeah. I loved it.
Did you? And you beat it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish you could hear all the fucking video game shit Ming's playing. It's pretty awesome.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Do you have a favorite all-time NES game?
Old school NES game. Shit, I'd have to think about that, I guess.
Yeah, I can name some. Super Mario, Contra.
Legend of Zelda.
Zelda.
You know what I was into? Yeah. It's so
Star
much,
Wars games.
So much so that it made me think of it. Even when I wasn't playing, like it would come back in my mind and I would think of combinations. Dr. Mario.
The pills. Yeah. Oh, Mario shit, you and the pills.
And it led me not to more gaming.
Even back then,
thinking about combinations, stay away those pills in his head.
Yeah.
Falling in, swimming in pills.
I thought I was a hardcore gamer.
Mario.
Turns out I was just an aspiring hardcore addict.
A fucking gateway 8-bit game. Oh my God.
Q, did you know Super Mario's is the best selling NES game of all time?
I would have to assume.
With over 40 million copies sold.
I'd have to assume.
Oh, wait, does that kind of came with every system? So did they count that?
That I just got
probably.
That stat.
Okay, Ming. Fair enough.
Before we get to Bry's, the saddest NES story.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's not sad. It's just.
I imagine. Well, how old are you in 1985?
I was 11.
So you're a little bit older than Q.
Yeah.
Knowing from some of the stories we've heard in the past.
Who did you watch playing through the window?
A lot of people.
Did you not get it?
I did not get it until a couple years later when it was kind of an older system. Okay. But eventually I got one. I still have it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I treasured it so much I kept it.
How significant was it a memory for you?
Oh, it was huge.
Right?
I'd wanted it. And as a hint to my parents, I would cut the pictures out of the catalog. Oh, and paste them on my wall. I was
doing a little Ralphie, with the Christmas story.
Trying to give them a little hint, and they didn't get the hint.
Oh, they got it. They just went, fuck off.
Yeah.
Did you – wait, what year were you born, Ming?
1974.
74.
And your parents are professionals.
Yeah.
Like, there's no –
Like, your father's, like, some sort of, like, engineer or something,
engineer,
right?
Yeah.
Like,
he probably makes very good money, right?
Enough to buy an NES, sure.
Can I say something about his parents? I want to say something about Ming's parents because I had the pleasure of – because I feel like people who listen to this show have a one view of them.
Yeah.
I got to say I had dinner with them.
Yeah.
And they were
– I had to pay.
Extremely personable, lovely people. Like they were really, really warm. Like
yeah,
your father was funny.
Yeah,
your mom was funny.
They're good guys.
Like they were really kind. Like there was none of this like –
stonewalling cold hearted that you
would
think.
So are you trying to say then, like,
I don't know. I'm just adding another piece to the puzzle. I'm saying I found them to be extremely warm, fun people. Yeah. Okay. So I don't know. I don't think.
Would you disagree with that?
No, they're warm. They just didn't get me. They didn't get me shit. So I mean, does one have to do with the other? No. They were more concerned about me ruining my grades. It's like you're
gonna
be playing on there all the time.
Detrimental to you.
You don't need this. This is you don't need this gizmo or gadget.
And that argument has waged since the very first video game was ever purchased. Q.
Yeah.
Do video games rot your brain?
I don't know if they rot the brain, but they definitely like my nephew, who got really good grades and looked like he was going to go on to
be
something, got consumed with video games. And then later on, that fucking idiot PewDiePie that like everybody – you know who I'm talking about, right? Like people watch him play video games.
Okay.
And he just the shit he does, I'm like – I mean, it leaves me speechless. Like, they're laughing like crazy, and all he's doing is playing a video game, and he's like, sounds like Quinn when he's nine. He's like, oh, hey, I'm going over here now. Oh, I just fell. Whoa, what do we got here? Oh, okay, I got to go around this troll.
So he's commentating?
He's commenting. There's a running commentary for the entire video game, nothing of substance, but he has like 30 million fucking subscribers or something. So much so that they did like a parody of it on South Park. And at the very end, which I thought it was kind of big of Trey and Matt, that at the very end, this PewDiePie cornball says, hey, I want to thank South Park for appearing on my show and blah, 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 whatever. But like, it's the recognition that like South Park is now 20 years old, you know? And like there was a running thing where they were calling each other grandpas and shit. Did you see that one?
No.
Season? Yeah, it was this season. And I think it was this season. And the grandpas were metaphorically Trey and Matt, because they're like, there must have been a conversation where they're like, why the fuck are kids not playing video games together? They're watching other people play video games. Like, it's insanity.
Yeah.
And they're laughing like nuts. And I'm like, what the fuck are you laughing at?
I'm on TV.
Yeah. I tell jokes.
Not as good as Cutie Pie.
Yeah.
That dude's laughing to the bank, too. Yeah. That's the worst
Didn't he just
man.
Put out a video game that made like millions of dollars?
And a book. Like Troy sent me, he was doing security in Barnes & Noble. He sent me a picture of a whole table full of books that say like YouTube stars. And I had not heard of any of them, but it's like 9 books that people from, YouTube sensations or whatever wrote. And I'm like, I don't belong in this fucking world anymore, man. Like, I'm old.
Bro, but that was in 95, though.
No, 95, I think I was still relatively him. I think my, like, I've fallen off the, I'm 47 now. Within the past, say, 7 years, I've completely stopped looking at anything popular, knowing about anything popular, any of that shit. I can't deal with it.
What's the NES story you were going to tell us?
Oh, when did it come out? 85?
The first 85? Unit shipped in 1985. It wasn't until 86, though, that it really exploded, though.
Whatever year it was, I think it might have been late 80s, early 90s, my brothers got it for Christmas. And me and Ed unwrapped it because we wanted to play Blades of Steel so badly. And my mother came upstairs. She's like, what are you doing?
Oh, God.
And we're like, what's the big deal? It's like, we'll wrap it back up. And my mother was infuriated that we were Blades of Steel.
Yeah.
Hit the pass. Yeah. Hit the pass.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Fucking funny.
Number two all-time selling GameCube, Super Mario Brothers 3, which sold 18 million copies.
That was a masterpiece. Fucking masterpiece.
He's not wrong.
Super Mario Bros. 3 is one of the best video games ever made. It is a masterpiece.
Wow. That's
unbelievable game. Unbelievable.
He's not wrong.
Well, okay, yeah. And then Super Mario Brothers 2, which sold 10 million copies. So the top three selling games are all about Mario.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody loves Mario. Like, Sage plays Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Well, know what? I have trouble now with the gender politics of the game, because it's him saving a damsel in distress, and she has no agency over her own outcome of the game. And it's a guy. I find it problematic, the gender issues in the game now.
Yeah,
but as a kid, I loved it.
I would definitely say something to your aunt.
Yeah. Q, do you how many games? How many NES games did you have in your library?
I still have them all. So
you still have them all?
I still have them all. I can give you an accurate count.
Wow. Well, how many do you think? Over 100?
Between 50 and 100. Sure.
That's a pretty big library.
That's just the NES.
Yeah.
I have every Nintendo system ever.
And you save them all.
I see.
How often is it that you crack open the NES and play?
I'll tell you what, maybe like once a year. I'll fire up the old systems just to play them.
It's tough, man. Those old games, they don't really hold up.
Yeah,
you have the most expensive game of all time, like the one that's going for a whopping $41,000?
No.
The one where you rape people and shit?
It's called Stadium Events.
No.
Don't have that one.
Never even heard of it.
If you had it, would you sell it?
Yes.
$41,000.
$41,000? Yes.
Yeah. Now that's.
But it could go up, though.
Yeah, but I could die, too. I'm not like Curtis. I don't live fucking forever. This fucking guy.
Ming, I know. He's fucking. Ming, do you know what was the name of that game? They pulled it very quickly, but it was some weird game where you went. It was like a Western.
That was an Atari game.
Yeah, and you raped people and shit.
You raped female Indians, yes.
What was the name of that?
Custer's Last Stand.
Custer's Last Stand.
I don't remember that one.
It was an Atari game.
No, yeah.
It was geared toward adults.
I had never heard of it until I read an article about it. And it's actually worth money, too. Let's see. Custer's Last
I tried to see if someone would bring it in for a comic book, man. And they're like, nope.
They shot it down.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it'd be kind of interesting, but they're like, nope.
Yeah, the banter that would be spawned from Custer's Revenge.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Custer's Revenge, yeah. Controversial video game made for the Atari 2600. It was also known as Westward Ho and The White Man Came.
Wow.
Yeah.
You control the character of Custer, depicted as a man wearing nothing but a cavalry hat, boots, and a bandana, sporting a visible erection. Custer has overcome arrow attacks to reach the other side of the screen. His goal is to have sex with a naked Native American woman tied to a pole.
Wow, how did they
– What fucking year was this?
It had to be 82.
82.
82.
Oof.
Yeah, 82, you know.
It's the Wild West, man.
Yeah.
Whatevs.
Different world.
When Atari 26 first came out, Walt, 2600 first came out, in today's dollars, it would be roughly $800. Maybe that's why kids weren't getting it.
Yeah. Do you know Nintendo of America officially discontinued the NES in 1995? In that 10-year span, Q?
Yes.
Over 62 million NES systems and over 500 million games were sold.
That's
in 10 years.
Half a billion games sold.
They
created
insane.
An industry, basically.
What was real quick, favorite game of all time on NES?
I got two words, Tecmo Bowl.
Awesome.
Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Oh my God. A great game. Remember, I forgot about it.
Freaking Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
They made him super fast.
Bo Jackson.
Unstoppable.
People still play Tecmo Bowl. There's still leagues for that, I think.
No way.
Yes, along with electric football.
Why? I was going to say that vibrating football game.
You know why I love it? Because you try to play the Madden of today. Like there's 80 million.
Yes.
You get a whole play. You got to be freaking Peyton Manning to play. You got to memorize this playbook. Tecmo Bowl, two run plays, two pass plays. That's it. That's all you need.
I loved it. All you need. Hours spent playing it. Great game.
That South Park episode I was just talking about, an arcade machine for Custer's Revenge appears in the background during Randy's musical performance at a bowling alley.
That's great.
Wow. I didn't notice that.
Do you have a favorite all-time game, Q, on the NES?
On the NES, it might be Super Mario Bros. 3.
Really?
It was
great. You called it a masterpiece.
It is.
Brian, you have an NES all-time game? I really don't have one.
It would have to be Dr. Mario. I didn't play – wait. You know what? There was another one called Battletoads.
Battletoads.
Yeah. Remember Battletoads.
You know what the game I can never beat? And every once in a while I'll fire up the NES to play it. Is the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game
for
the NES. I would get to Shredder, the last part of the game, and I could never beat him.
They call that Nintendo hard, right? Because there are certain games that were so hard to beat, and they call them like the people who developed them. That was their nickname. Hard. It's Nintendo hard.
It was impossible. Last time I did it was about 5 years ago. I tried to beat the game and I still fucking couldn't do it.
One thing I remember about the NES that would drive me mad and I would be all lightheaded and shit was blowing on the cartridges.
Yeah.
I just read an article about that and they said
my God.
They said it didn't work. All it did was get the contact points wet so that they would conduct.
Oh, yeah. Corrode. So yeah. Bad for them.
Really? So blowing on it didn't work?
It did seem to, like, sure in the moment, like didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, probably because you had to reseat it when you put it back in.
They said the way it was designed, because they wanted it to look more like a VCR than anything else, so they said the contact points in the, like, in the receiving, the female thing, I guess, or whatever, yeah. The male-female thing. It got Westward Ho.
White Man's Revenge.
Yeah.
What was it called?
Revenge against what?
The white man came.
Oh, white man came.
Yeah.
But I mean, I remember blowing on. I mean, I would be lightheaded. Yeah. I'm trying to be playing a game. Oh, I play ice hockey a lot with my sister.
Hurry up, Bry's mom is coming.
And I would be like, my head would be spinning. I would blow on that cartridge so long to get it to finally work.
About 2 years ago, I'm driving home. It's pouring rain, and it's garbage night.
Okay. Which I can't even imagine garbage night is on your fucking radar at this point. Do you know what garbage night is? Is it still the same night?
Sure, yeah, Tuesday night, Saturday.
I thought it was a euphemism for something.
No, it's garbage night. And I'm driving home, and pouring rain, and I see stacked up next to someone's garbage can 3 NES systems.
Whoa. Right? Who throws that away?
And I'm like,
pre or post 3. Jokers?
No, pre? This is 2 years ago.
Oh, 2 years ago. Okay.
So, yeah, during.
So I'm like,
during.
So I look at him and I'm like,
is that a raccoon? No, that's like, raccoon.
I'm like, I gotta see. So I run out of the car. I grab him. I bring him in the Jeep Wrangler. Right. Put him in the Wrangler. 2 of them work.
Oh.
I hook them up.
How do you know they work immediately?
I have all the wires and stuff. I went
in
home.
Your car?
No. Oh, okay. No, I went home. Yeah, it's like MTV Crib, like hit my ride, but it's like fucking 85.
He was a limo playing them in a hot tub.
No,
when he meant immediately, he meant he went home.
Okay. No, I was only like 3 blocks from my house. Right. Yeah. So I go home and I'm like, well, they're not going to work. They're soaking wet, right? Yeah. So I unscrew them. I wipe them down, get them off. So 2 of them work.
Could you imagine the person who owns that house bringing more garbage out with a flashlight, shining it on, and PQ looking up at him? And he's got to be like, what the fuck is going on?
You're being joked. And I run back in my car in trouble.
Quinn's like,
Hey, fuck that, man. I got 2 NES systems, bro.
They go for money now, right?
I got like $50. You can get them. No. You can get them.
All right, so we can put to bed the NES bullet point from Curtis.
That's a good one, Curtis.
And move on to 1989.
All right.
How old are you then?
89? I'm 13. Also a good Taylor Swift album. How you doing, BJ? How you feeling? You were feeling a little sick. We're coming up on an hour.
Oh, I'm doing okay. Yeah. I may have to make an emergency run to the entire house. Say one person has this fucking stomach issue.
Yeah,
both cats, Sage and me. It smells really good in the house.
Do you have a cleaning lady?
Yeah, her name's Suzanne.
all right, sorry, boys. 1989.
Yes,
you.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you about
my world.
The release of Batman.
Okay. I have good memories of it.
How significant and how excited were you for the release of Batman?
Very excited. Did not see it until 4 weeks in theaters.
Whoa.
Because it was fucking packed on Staten Island. Every time I went, the theater was sold out.
Really?
So my mother was eventually like, you know what? Just wait and we'll go like one Sunday afternoon or some shit like that. And I went one.
So how agonizing was that?
It was pretty agonizing, man. Because, you know, I'm a huge comic book guy.
Yeah.
And that was when everybody was wearing the Batman t-shirts at the time. You remember that weird
bat
popularity?
Symbol, yes.
So it was rough. It was rough.
I remember walking through the mall like shortly after it came out and just people yelling random lines like, this town needs an enema. Like shit like that.
Yeah.
A month. That was back in the days when they held movies over for a month, 6 weeks. You remember how long Dirty Dancing was in Atlantic Highlands? Yeah. It was like 6 fucking months they held it over.
Really?
And I never saw it once. I still, after 6 months, I still was like, no. When is something good going to come out?
What about you, Ming? Were you excited for Batman?
Yeah, I was really. I mean, that was a talk of the summer. That was the summer.
That's one of the questions I want to ask all you guys to weigh in on. Is the anticipation for the new Star Wars this next month, is it bigger than Batman, or did Batman dwarf that back in 1989? I'm going to weigh in. I think Batman the anticipation was still bigger.
It sure, it felt like it. It
are you recording like me it. The whole time on Periscope?
Yes.
It's aimed right at me. What are yes, you doing that here, for?
I'm aiming it at me then.
Well, at least
people got sick of me.
At least Robin Winteringham says, "I look great." Thank you.
You do look great. Good,
thank you, Robin.
Anyways, it seemed like it was everywhere. It was Taco Bell commercials. It was, Subway.
We were bombarded with Batman talk. Yeah. Batman anticipation.
Right.
Did you guys know that Jack Nicholson was almost not the Joker, and the role was given to somebody else?
No. Who?
Who could have filled those shoes, those Joker shoes?
Well, Nicholson would not commit to it. He was kind of like playing – they were kind of playing like he was playing like trying to get more out of them, I guess. And so they went and they contacted Robin Williams, and he agreed to do it.
Robin
Williams was going to be the Joker. And and then when Nicholson got wind that Robin Williams agreed to it,
whoa,
he quickly signed.
Stop the presses.
Yeah.
Wow. Shit.
Yeah. So, I mean, how good was Nicholson as a Joker?
He's still the best Joker.
You think he beats Ledger?
Oh, yeah.
For you?
For me, yeah.
I kind of agree with you.
Yeah, not to say Ledger wasn't great.
No, he was good.
And not to say Cesar Romero wasn't great, because I love him too. But to me, Nicholson's Joker is always going to be the Joker for me. It's tough to beat a performance that iconic.
He even has like Nicholson laughing and shit. It's pretty great. It's
the Prince, man.
Oh, really?
Dance.
Oh, nice.
Dance, man. Cool.
Yeah, remember the did you get the Prince album? Just because it was Batman,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you would have never.
That's crazy, right? I mean, I almost did. That's how crazed I was, man, for Batman. And I was like, well, I don't care. I want anything involved with this movie. I almost bought it. And I was like,
I couldn't do it.
You're I just
lucky
couldn't
I
do
it. I would have gotten you. I would have beat your ass. It's bad enough we had Kev buying shit like fucking Prince and She's Having a Baby soundtracks and shit.
But yeah, I went, they previewed it the night before on Thursday, and my friend called me up. He's like, dude, we're going to go see Batman. Let's go. I didn't have any money. So I'm digging in the couch cushions, just like Brian was at the bowling alley. And finally, I scrounged up enough of like $7 or something. I get up to the counter. There's long lines everywhere, and I dump this big handful of change in front of the ticket taker. She just sit there and count it all out. But I barely made it. But I got in.
Walt, is there a pre-order for this year's Christmas pod? There isn't, right? It's just you go on when it goes up, right? That's it. We don't do a pre-order, do we?
You did one year, but I don't think did it this year. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I guess. Sorry, Ruben Hood. We don't.
Yeah, we're gonna do it on. We mean no. There's no pre-order.
Yeah, no pre-order. It's just you. Look, Jeremy TESD. Go to my Periscope or Ming's Periscope or Q. Are you Periscoping?
No, I'm done.
Quinn stopped.
We were getting too many. IJ
or Smodcast. /Sir or Stitcher or TuneIn.
Yeah.
Come on, man, Jeremy TESD. You want me to do everything
for
you?
What did the? I mean, I know. I'm really curious. Did it mean much to you, the Batman movie?
The only reason it meant anything was because I was hanging around with Kevin a lot. Like, that was by that point you had met Debbie, so you were off.
No, I had
romancing.
Met her.
What's that?
I had met her at that point.
Right, that's what I mean. You had met Debbie, so you were off with your gal a lot more. So
yes.
I ended up hanging out with Kevin a lot more, and he was consumed with it. I think Batman may be the movie I saw the most times in theaters.
Really? Yes. I remember you and Kev.
We probably went like 6 or 7 times. He just wanted to keep going back and seeing the same thing.
It's a really great movie, man.
Yeah. It was fun.
That's what I want to ask you. How does it hold up today for you?
It holds up. I watched them recently.
It's very...
Yeah.
It's a feast for the eyes.
And I love the second one, too. I know a lot of people got down on it, but I was always like kind of on its side. I like the
$1 bill. When he goes up the stairs, he's so great. Like I mean, Ledger presents the more like modern, like Frank Miller-esque, I guess.
Right.
And he's good. I mean, he's really fucking good in that movie.
He's great.
But Nicholson just brought some. He like almost like not quite Cesar Romero, but. Yeah. Definitely not quite Ledger, but he did a fucking awesome job. How do you think Jared Leto will be?
Well, I'm going to take a wait and see.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He's a good actor, so you never know. He's a
very good actor. I'm not a fan of the tattoos, yeah, the just facial the whole tattoos, look, yeah. But I'm going to wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess is the only thing you can do, right?
Yeah.
I'm a little past the age of getting worked up over anything.
Where were you? You must have been like,
I was in love with the movie.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a lot of – and I know there was – I don't know if you remember back then, but the pre-internet. So, but there's still – the fanboys were able to – get their voices heard to the studio about Keaton being cast. And I was not one of those. I'm proud to say I can look back and I'm pretty proud of the way I handled myself.
I didn't bother to write a letter knowing it wouldn't have mattered.
But I didn't cry.
He's like,
but I didn't moan. I remember my mom said, oh, Mr. Mom.
Yeah, Mr.
Batman?
Mom.
And what do you think of that? And I was like, it's going to be fine, Mom. I think he's going to do a great job. Because I just saw him in
Fucking put me up for adoption. I want to hear this shit anymore.
I said, I just saw him in Clean and Sober, and this guy's got some good acting
chops. He's got chops.
He's going to be able to pull this off, and I was pretty sure that he was going to do a good job. And my confidence in him was reaffirmed when I saw the trailer for the first time. People were going to see – buying tickets to see movies just to see the trailer.
Trailer. Wow.
So how many times have you seen it, Q?
Oh, Jesus. I mean,
including the time I waited for a month? Once.
Double digits?
Double digits without a doubt.
Ming, double digits?
Oh, yeah.
That's almost sound like 25.
Do you remember – I remember they rushed that shit into stores on VHS.
Yeah.
And I remember that's the first time I ever heard the word Macrovision.
Oh, where you couldn't, dub it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just like, who's going to do that?
Yeah.
You know, who would bother to dub a VHS? But boy.
Boy, did you make a living off that later on?
And that rolls us right into another movie a couple years later.
Wait, real quick. I was thinking the other day, Spirit of Christmas. Do you remember how much fucking money we made off of that before South Park was popular?
Oh, yeah.
We used to sell – do you remember the little five-minute
Spirit of
Christmas
short? Sort of,
yeah.
They sent it to Kevin to watch. And this
I was working here at the time.
Yeah. And this was before any South Park show, anybody had talked about it. Nobody knew who these guys were. And when we opened the store, Walt and I used to – I don't know what you would call it. You know, we were
– Trying to make a little extra bucks.
We were cutting corners.
Earnest.
Yeah.
We were earnest guys just trying to make their way.
Yeah. I mean,
trying to help a store to just open.
Have some more.
It was a new venture, yeah. I cannot tell you the number of Spirit of Christmas
tapes. What did you sell
it for? It was an entire cassette with fucking 5 minutes on it. We sold it for $10 each.
I don't kill it. This is shameful. We would just record over other VHS copies of stuff that were on there and not even bother to erase what was on the other side.
So it would come on afterwards?
Yeah. Oh, it was horrible. Oh, man. I'm ashamed of myself at times.
Yeah. Oops. I mean, but it was like – we acted as if like we had discovered oil underneath the store. We're geniuses. We're fucking geniuses.
That's a freaking Chinese dumping operation.
That was the one where Bobby, he was an ice skater, fought Jesus.
Bobby Botano.
Yes.
Bobby Botano.
Yep.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, it was great. It was shocking the first time you saw it.
Yeah.
Because it was never anything like it before.
Yeah, Cartman's getting an anal probe from aliens.
Yeah.
Was it Bobby? Bobby Botana?
Brian Botana. Bye.
Yeah.
Okay, a couple years later, or maybe it's a little earlier. I went out of order here. But another movie that Curtis would love to hear you guys talk about is Die Hard.
Oh, Die Hard. That is.
It's funny how Ming immediately, like, did you tell him about this in advance?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I texted you guys yesterday. I go, Ming has got great stuff to play along with us as we were talking about.
I was like, God damn, man. He has everything on there.
Did you know, or was it on your blip? Was it a blip at all for you when Die Hard was released?
It was released around Christmas, if I remember correctly.
No, it was a summer movie.
Summer?
Yeah.
Takes place at Christmas, but was not released around Christmas.
Yeah. Because I was at a family.
Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Because I was at a family party, and we all went to go see it.
And my aunt
was
like.
You could be right.
I was on Nintendo.
It might not have been Christmas, but that's usually when we were together.
I thought it was a summer movie for some reason. Maybe because then they turned it into a summer release because it was a blockbuster.
I don't know. All I know is me and all my cousins went to see it.
Did you have any kind of expectations?
But I think because my older cousins were like, this is going to be awesome. And I kind of took that on, you know what I mean? Because they were excited about it and I was younger than them. So I was like, oh, this is going to be awesome.
No, you're right. Well, the release date was July 20th, 88.
Yep.
It must have been a birthday party or something because we all went and it was –
it's one of those movies. Great. Like you have no expectations. So when you sit there and you see something that good,
yeah,
it is – it's even more an experience because you're like you had no idea you were going to be transfixed
right.
and just blown out of the theater as the tagline yeah. was.
It's a classic. It's unbelievable.
Somebody's arguing that this is not a Christmas movie on the IMDb. If you want to see the world's biggest fucking idiots ever commenting on things, go to the IMDb. Like they should literally get the addresses and hunt every one of these motherfuckers down and sterilize them.
Yeah, well, at least blind them so they can't watch movies no more.
That's do that too. Yeah,
we'll cut their fingers off so they can't type.
I've got a little tidbit here about Die Hard. I bet you don't know.
Okay,
it was originally supposed
Cafe
to be
means black, or was that Lethal Weapon? What? Do you remember yeah. that at the very end? I think it was a Lethal Weapon too.
Yeah, you're trussing movies here, but yes, that wasn't a Die Hard quote.
It was originally supposed to be a Commando sequel.
That was really? Going to be Arnold?
Yeah.
Really?
I looked that up the other day. Yeah. Die Hard started out originally as a sequel to Commando.
Hmm. Wow.
Obviously, Willis wasn't the first choice, but the role was passed around from Arnold to Sylvester Stallone to Burt Reynolds. Richard Gere and even Harrison Ford before they finally settled in on really? Bruce Willis.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
How much do you like it, Brian? Would you give it?
Die Hard?
Yeah.
I would give it a 10. Yeah. I absolutely
it's pretty perfect,
it.
Yeah. right?
I mean, there's nothing boring about it ever from beginning to end.
One of my favorite all-time cinematic moments in film is the he's picking a glass out of his feet.
Yeah, yeah. So brutal, so man.
Shoot the glass.
Yeah. Love it. Love the movie.
Fuck that idiot on IMDb. The first film begins on Christmas Eve. So it is a Christmas movie.
Of course.
Jerk off.
It's definitely
a Christmas movie. It takes place during a Christmas party.
It's not like he's listening.
Nakatomi Christmas party, man.
Yeah.
Those sequels?
I have immense love for the first two sequels.
Me too.
The third one I love. It's New York. It's what's up?
I don't like the third one, but you do, huh?
Well, it's one of those movies that I'm like, I know exactly where they are.
Right.
I've been there a million times. Like, I really love the third. I think it's the first is obviously my favorite, then the third, then the second. I
you
love
know what
the
I didn't
third.
Like
amazing.
About the
that's
third.
What I had. I want you to put them in order.
Really?
Yeah. My bullet points. My okay. Curtis bullet points.
I like all that. I liked 1, 3, 2. I didn't mind Live Free and Die Hard.
And Hollis.
the last one. Was
I didn't see the last
unwatchable.
One. And that's what I've heard, and that's why I'm afraid to watch it.
Don't,
because
it's completely unwatchable. I went to the sad. Marathon. Me and Stacy Patella went to see all five movies in the movie theater in one day.
Ooh, how the fuck do you have time to do that?
Dude, you just get a day off, you know what I mean? You go. You know, we stuck beers in, and we were just drinking and watching the movie. It was a good time. And we had friends joining us throughout the day. So, mm-hmm. like, I had one buddy came for part one, would leave. Then part three, another buddy yeah. came and left. And we were all excited. Got to the fifth one.
Because you hadn't seen it yet, right?
No, it was the day it was released. And all the energy got sucked out of the room. It was such a useless piece of shit of a movie, man.
How is Willis, though? Is he still John McClane now?
I think he still got it in him, but not in this movie.
Yeah.
It was beyond hard. There is not a single redeeming thing about the fifth Die Hard movie. It's completely unwatchable on everything.
That's one with his son, right?
It's with his son.
Yeah.
Oh, so bad. So
well, even right? the one before. No, I didn't see it. The one before. Oh, is that the one with Kevin in it?
Yeah.
That was the one with Kevin.
Yeah. Live for your Die Hard.
Sorry, I didn't see that one.
Oh, I like Live for Your Die Hard.
Yeah, I kind of enjoyed Live for
I enjoyed that one too.
Live for Your Die Hard. No, that's the one where he's wearing the sandwich board about.
No, that's three.
That's three.
Okay, that's the one. And then he has the bad guy has the girlfriend who doesn't say a word. She just looks
that's
tough
three.
The entire
yes.
time.
Jeremy
Irons. Well, she had her throat blown out.
That one I didn't like. Oh, did she?
Oh, I love three. Yeah.
Really?
Fan of three. Yeah. It doesn't make sense and it's goofy.
Well, how much does part two not make sense? Yeah. But it doesn't matter because it's so fun.
It just coasts on him.
I like when he's riding that bike and he rings a bell.
John Amos was, you know, the sub villain.
Oh yeah,
remember that? Mm-hmm.
I just love the end where he's like, "We don't have no lights. We can't. We need a runway lights." And he's
lights
just,
the fire.
It's just fucking amazing. It's totally ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, Star Wars is more realistic than Die Hard 2.
It's so funny. And great. It's got that great line where he's like, "Hey, Carmine, what sets off your metal detectors first? The lead in your ass or the shit in your head?" And you're like, "Wait, what? Why would shit set off metal detectors?"
It's great. They're flying around D.C. There's no lights. The airport's shut down. They can't go to Baltimore. They can't go to Philadelphia. They can't go to Atlanta. They can't fly anywhere else.
They can't contact him. Remember, they brought down
This is for anybody who's complaining about the shot of Ming. Now it's going to be on Miley Cyrus's cock.
There we go.
No.
You got to fucking complain about shit.
Right, they can't contact anyone, and yet there's that airphone that William Atherton picks up, and he can call anybody.
Hey, this is why I really want to get all your opinions on this. In the pantheon of action heroes, where does John McClane stand?
Ooh. Well, who are you putting him up against? Okay, we got
Indiana Jones.
You can put him there if you want in the pantheon.
I mean, how is Terminator an action star, or is he not really since he's a son?
I would have to say, T-800 is definitely an action star. Arnold as the Terminator, yes.
Okay. Dolph Lundgren?
No, doesn't even get in there. No.
Okay.
Stallone.
But as who though? As which
Rambo?
Character? Yeah.
Yeah, it'd have to be Rambo.
Is he going in Hall of Fame of action heroes? He's got to go in as Rambo.
Yeah. Well, what other action heroes did he really play that match up to that?
Rocky.
Rocky's not action.
He's a boxer.
I can't wait for Creed. By the way.
No, you really
cannot wait.
Don't you think it's difficult for people to see that? And like, I mean, it's almost as fast as the Star Wars trailer with Leia, where they're like, "Don't look how fat she is."
No, I don't know.
Like Creed, I was like, "What is this?" And then I assume because it was boxing, it had something to do with that. And then I saw Stallone a little bit, but not that they're not selling it on him.
Did you? No. Well, the early buzz is that it's his best performance as Rocky to date. He may be up for an Academy Award for it.
That's going to be tough to pull off a better performance than the first one.
Just telling you what I'm hearing.
He's absolutely amazing in the first
one. He's amazing. The last one was great too. Rocky Balboa was awesome. Great movie.
What I would think for you, it would have to be Riggs, right?
Yeah. If there's a wing of like the elite Hall of Fame of action heroes, Riggs, which is Mel Gibson, and
maybe stuck around for one sequel too many.
Who?
Riggs.
At least he went out with three. He did four.
He did four. Yeah, wasn't Chris Rock in the fourth?
That was one where it was all family, and he had a wife and a baby on the way. It was all hijinksy.
Doesn't matter. Riggs is in the Hall of Fame.
I'll give you Riggs.
With John McClane.
Yeah.
Ultimate crossover, if they were to do a crossover movie. Oh. Riggs and John McClane.
Teaming up together. Butting heads.
Yeah, to stop. First, they fight each other, of course.
Right.
In a misunderstanding.
Sure. Two cops just going at it the wrong way.
And then they take down some, like, I'm sure some Europe, like some German terrorist.
Yeah.
I'm going to change my – it's going to be like a screensaver for people.
So Hans Gruber didn't die. He comes back. Yeah. He has another brother.
Sister. Yeah.
Did you see that movie?
What? Oh, fucking
Riggs and McClane.
Are you kidding me?
In a second.
I would just write a check blank and hand it over to him.
Played by Mel Gibson and Bruce Willis?
Just for the people who are angry at Mel Gibson.
They're
like,
still mad?
Oh, they're still mad.
Come on, man. It's years ago.
I know. The guy does a lot of charity work, too. He's done a lot of good.
Who's that?
Mel Gibson.
Oh, they're still mad at him for the Jewish stuff?
Yeah, I would think
that, you know.
Well, it was the double punch of Last Temptation of Christ plus, like,
what was it wrong with that?
Hey, sugar tits. Hey, Jew. Well, a lot of people see it as anti-Semitic.
Well, he also threatened to fucking smack around his wife while he was on the phone with a
– do you think that was wrong, though? Like you threatened to smack around his wife? Let me ask you something, right? Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Is there anything worse than a blowjob promise that goes unfulfilled?
Is that what happened?
That's what happened.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He was it appeared to me that the deal
he
was.
He got so upset about not getting a blowjob. He said he was going to smack her.
They were supposed to go in the hot tub, and she was either going to blow him in the hot tub or pre hot tub, post hot tub.
Why is he calling on the phone?
It went unfulfilled. Well, I guess this was at a point where they were arguing. And, he got worked up about it. Who wouldn't?
I would.
Now, I don't know if you should threaten to knock people's teeth out.
You definitely should not.
Probably not. You know, when you're angry, heat of the moment.
It seems to be a little much. But, I mean, this is a guy that, like, did he say shit he shouldn't have said? Absolutely. The anger, I don't think, was about one thing.
Sure.
I'll bet you this was like had built up and built up and built up, and she's the type of person who's going to record it.
Yeah.
You know, I guarantee that anger while
that's a guy pushed to the brink.
Yes, that guy is on the brink. While the threat should have not been levied, you can definitely be mad about the blowjob thing. And be like, yo, man, right. You said.
Just break
it I didn't me. Say you said. Right. Before we get in that hot tub or when we're in the hot tub, you were going to blow me. Then you didn't do it.
It's infuriating.
Oh.
But you shouldn't threaten us. You shouldn't. But that being said,
you got to accept it.
He's clearly either was mentally ill or was going through something that pushed him over the edge. And it's just so funny that like
it happens to so many people.
People are so hand-wringy and like, oh, but this is the reason these people act this way. This is the reason that people act the way. Mm-hmm. Everybody makes excuses for everybody. But like, if the guy's got a legit mental illness, like, you got to fucking. You gotta give him the same forgiveness. Yeah, you gotta. That being said, you should not go around smacking women and fucking threatening them.
He didn't hit her though, did he?
Oh, I think that was the big.
Oh, he did hit her. Oh, I mean,
didn't she say on the phone, "You hit me and grabbed the baby," and he was like, "Well, you fucking deserved it," or something like that.
Oh, I don't remember that part.
It felt like this was a long time ago, doesn't it?
We gotta let the guy out.
Is he in jail?
No, he's in society jail.
He's in Hollywood jail.
Yeah. No, he's not. He was in the Beaver. They let him in the Beaver.
I think that the time has come and gone though for those guys to reprise their roles as Riggs and John McClane.
They're too old.
Guarantee you'll see another Die Hard movie.
If Dog can come back from what he said,
Dog the Bounty Hunter?
Yeah. Why shouldn't he come back? No, they gave him the show again. He was back on TV with original episodes after that.
Right, but it was – but they couldn't recapture Lightning in a Bottle in the show.
It was the magic quickly. That was Dog.
All right, we got two last bullet points for Curtis, and then we can wish everybody then a happy Thanksgiving. James Bond in the 80s. Q. I know you just went – you told me you saw the recent James Bond, so I know you're a Bond fan.
I like Bond.
The 80s produced 5 Bond movies. Are we still on that same kind of output on the Bond movies where we're getting a Bond movie every other year?
Recently we are.
That's a pretty healthy output of Bond. Every other year you get a Bond movie.
Well, they went bankrupt for a while, so there was no Bond movie.
Bond sucks, so I'll be right back.
The people that own the rights, Broccoli?
Yeah, the Broccoli.
I'll take a nice tea, buddy, yeah. Thank you. They went bankrupt. There were a few years where there weren't.
How the fuck do you go bankrupt when you own Bond?
I don't know. But there was no Bond for many years, like 8-9 years.
I didn't know this.
Yeah.
Was that before Pierce Brosnan, maybe?
It was after Brosnan.
After Brosnan.
And before, what's his name?
Daniel Craig.
The 1980s, okay, I said that. We saw the final 3 Roger Moore Bond movies and the only 2 Timothy Dalton ones closed out the decade. Favorite Bond, Q?
It's got to be Connery.
Oh, you're old school. You're classic.
I mean, if you go and rewatch them, he's fucking great.
He's so smug.
He's like – it's become a thing where people just say he's the best one. But if you watch it, he's the fucking – he's great. I love Daniel Craig's my second favorite one.
Yeah.
But Connery is – it's just a step above, man. He's great.
What about you, man?
I grew up during the 80s.
Don't
so
even say
I, it. I grew up – Roger Moore was my Bond when I grew up. So
it's like Felix Unger as Bond.
I know. It's just – I mean, it's Bond like, is so –
he's wearing a cardigan running around.
I know. It's just – Bond is so far-fetched that it's like, you know, it's like you can't really say – I mean, you can't say one is better than the other, but I like
– Yes, you can. You're allowed to say one is better than the other.
I like A View to a Kill because Christopher Walken's a villain. Yeah, like they fight on the –
That's what Grace Jones?
Bridge. Grace Jones. Yeah. Like the Zorin, like that freaking blimp, like it's so out there that I think
I don't want to come down. Yeah,
oh, the theme song, the Duran Duran theme song.
Oh, Kill's a good one.
Good theme song.
The Live and Let Die is a good theme song.
That's a good theme song too. Yeah.
So your favorite is Roger Moore. Here's gums to my next question.
Well, who's yours, Walt?
I gotta go with Connery. But Daniel Craig is so close to edging it out. He would have. If not for Spectre, I didn't like Spectre at all.
Yeah, you were
saying. If he had hit a home run in Spectre, I don't think it's his fault.
Right.
The story was just not what didn't do it for me. He would have overtook Connery for me. He was that.
They're pretty close.
He's just magnificent as Bond. But in a, we kind of talked about this on Compliment. I don't know if it ever got aired or not, but if there was a James Bond steel cage match, all the Bonds
get into one. Wins.
Yeah.
Daniel Craig wins.
Hands down. He's brutal and vicious. None of the other guys have that.
All right, who's the first one out of the ring with a broken neck?
Joe Lazenberry just gets his fucking ass in it.
Yeah, they're right.
Why? Because he was only in one?
Yeah, I don't
know.
Come on, he's thin and slight.
Roger Moore is the first one out of here. Even Lazenberry lasts longer than Moore.
Yeah, not to mention Roger Moore was like, what, 87? He was doing those movies. So
I agree,
old people. He's so old.
But Lazenberry's so slight and thin. Yeah. Like he's
so is Sean Connery.
He had grit.
All right, but Daniel Craig walks. He's the last man. He's the last Bond standing.
He's got to be. He's fucking brutal, man.
He's a killer.
There's
man.
No guns. This is all hand.
Yeah, that's
hand
what I'm saying.
Hand.
Because you got Pierce Brosnan is kind of a dandy. You know what I mean? He's kind of like a little too, you know, smooth and suave for his own good.
Pierce Brosnan and Timothy Dalton, they remind me of the same. It's hard to differentiate them for me. They feel like they're the same era, right on top of each other, it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, I think because I rewatched a lot of them in the past couple of years. iTunes sold all the movies for like $70, so I just got it, and I worked through some of them. And it seems like with what's his name, Timothy Dalton.
Yeah,
he was a little more brutal and raw, and really? Then they switched it over to the Pierce Brosnan, and they went back for the smooth, sexy,
pretty boy
kind of thing. So thanks, buddy.
Yeah, but Daniel Craig, definitely not the pretty boy. It's almost like he's a soccer hooligan.
Yes. Yes.
Are you a fan of Bond, Walt?
Yeah, I actually have become a fan recently over the past like 3 years. I went back and watched a lot of Bonds, and I get a kick at them. They're ridiculous, yeah. but I enjoy them. But I like the Daniel Craig version because it was a little – not as – ridiculous, you know, as some of the earlier ones,
right?
Except for the Spectre, it went back to being
ridiculous,
so stupid, and kind of just kind of a letdown for me personally. You're not a fan, Brian, of Bond?
I'm sure that I've seen Bond movies. I know I've seen one or two, but nah, just
can't
my thing. Yeah,
I like the spy thing. I Q, how about this for you then? Get Daniel Craig out of retirement.
Yeah.
And real quick, and do Ethan Hunt, James Bond crossover movie.
Here'd be my problem with it. I'm not a huge fan of the Mission Impossible movies.
I love them.
The first two were so boring, I couldn't stand them. And the third one was good. And what was the
– Ghost Protocol.
Ghost Protocol, I didn't see.
You got to watch them.
It was good. Yeah. I like four.
Yeah. What's the dude's name?
Tom Cruise?
Tom Cruise is basically James Bond. Yeah. I mean, I'm talking about in real life. I mean, the motherfucker's hanging on to planes doing his own stunts.
I see it. I know what you're saying, but he's Tom Cruise. Something about it, there's a disconnect for me in that guy.
Really?
Yeah, there's something about Tom Cruise I don't connect with.
Yeah,
order a cold red. That's good entertainment.
But I think that would be the greatest spy movie ever made, where they meet, and initially they think they're on opposite sides. Right. They got to fight.
Sure. Comic book 101 shit here.
Yeah, and there's no clear-cut winner. You know, it's almost to a draw. They both get some good licks in, and then they realize they're both on the same side down the German terrorist.
I'd watch it. I'm not going to lie.
I would be there. I would be more excited for that than Star Wars.
How do you feel about Ming? Let me throw this you over.
Okay.
Because I already know Walt's answer on this one. The controversy would be out about a black James Bond. What do you think?
It's Idris Elba they wanted.
What do you think?
I think it'd be great. I think he would be
awesome,
phenomenal.
Yeah.
He's got everything you would want in a Bond.
What's wrong with John Amos? No?
John Amos? Well,
so that's they've already cast a new Bond?
No, but they're saying
for
black James Bond.
Give us 10 years. We just got fucking used to a black stormtrooper. Now you're going to give us a black James Bond.
You know what? I got to say, like, they – normally I don't like flipping and like
sure, Johnny Storm.
To me, I'm just like it just reeks of pandering, and I don't like that. Mm-hmm. But that Idris Elba,
I don't know. Is this guy? What movie has this guy been in? I don't know.
He was on The Wire. He was on. You've probably seen him. He's been in a ton of stuff.
Bunch of stuff.
Here's the thing. No fucking reason I can't be a Black James
no
Bond.
No fucking way at
Why
all.
Why not? Why not?
Especially this
you,
guy.
But you know what's next?
What? A woman James Bond?
Jamie Bond.
But I'd
That's
watch
what we're going to fucking see next.
But I'd watch that. That's she's running around fucking dudes and like fighting crime? Like
No, she's not going to fuck any dudes.
She can fuck girls? This is even better.
Not going to happen. Nope.
She's just not fucking?
The sex element's going to be
You can't take sex element.
You need that. That's so integral in the story.
Yeah,
the guy agreed he doesn't have to be white. Boy, he's got to fuck.
Or she.
Or I ain't watching it.
And then after that, give it another 5 years, transgender James Bond.
But you wouldn't watch that? Tell me you wouldn't go fucking watch
that. I would go see.
I'd be first in line.
He's fucking guys and gals. She's fucking guys. Whatever.
Yeah.
Pansexual James Bond.
Dude, that would be amazing.
Where's that dildo like Miley the entire time?
Finally, the last Curtis bullet point. I don't have much to say about this. I'm hoping Ming and Bri and Q, you have some thoughts on this. Sunday, April 5th, 1987, Fox premieres a new primetime live-action pilot called Married with Children.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
This is something that interests you? This raises your eyebrow? Are you into this show?
No, I'm not into it at all. They're gonna remake the show?
No, he's...
Is that what you just said?
No, well, talking about the original premiere date.
1987.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was switching pictures. I thought you said they're going to remake.
Well, they are. Yeah.
They are remaking it?
They are remaking it with Bud Bundy as the dad, I heard.
Oh, really?
Oh, Lord.
I was a fan. I watched it every week.
Did you? Yeah. Now, this would have been are you still?
What year?
87 premieres?
87, so I was 11.
So this, what did you like the show?
Yeah, I thought it was hysterical.
I never could get into it. I would see bits and pieces of it. It just never made me laugh, though.
It was funny. It was racy in a way that 11-year-old fucking loved. And
also, it was new. Like, you hadn't seen anything like that. Right. Like that dysfunction. Like, now it's just par for the course, the dysfunctional family. But at the time,
this was at the time with like the Cosby Show. Like everything
that's what they
was.
Say. This was the antithesis.
Yeah.
And
did I say that because I know
felt,
it over live.
No, you got it right.
I was in practicing that for days. I knew somebody was, if somebody didn't bring up Cosby, I was going to say it.
I said it a thousand times. Nice.
Just in front of you.
Well, don't you think?
Nice. But it was the antithesis of Cosby, and that's what people were attracted to it, right?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Well, plus the two women on it were so hot.
Yeah,
and the tits were out the entire time.
Two.
Peg Bundy and the daughter.
That's a question. Why was Al? Something wrong? Why was he not attracted to his wife?
I think he was just tired of fucking her.
I think he was tired of fucking her. I think he was tired of life. Yeah. He was so beaten down by working at the shoe store, his asshole kids.
Yeah. He never cheated on her. He didn't fuck around.
Nope. He never was like ooga, like you know.
He was like ooga, but he never fucked anybody.
Really? I remember him being ooga with other women.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
I just like every episode.
I remember him being in the shoe store and like some cow fucking.
So he would salivate over all the hot women, but he didn't have any. His wife didn't do anything for him.
Yeah, and I don't know. Would they do that today with like Kelly as the obvious slut? Like there was no two ways about it. Like
she was a bimbo, right?
Yeah,
there's
big
a lot
time.
Of shows. Married with Children is a show. You question could it air today without in a world of social media? Could it air today as it did? Could All in a Family? Ever.
No way.
Likeable racist.
But that's the thing, like Archie, like the whole Archie Bunker thing, the whole All in the Family was so timely and so like even though he was saying that shit, it you looked at him like he wasn't lovable exactly.
No, but he wasn't unlikable.
He wasn't unlikable and he was everybody's grandfather who said shit that it's like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
You know? Kind of the same, not as bad, but kind of the same as like Fred Sanford. Sanford calling, you know, talk about Puerto Ricans.
That was not a spinoff, right? No, that was two different networks.
No.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people didn't, like they don't get or didn't get the humor. Well, actually, it was pretty popular at the time, so they did get it.
People
All
got
the Family.
Yeah. People got it. Was he
redeemed? Like, did he learn lessons? Because I remember All in the Family, but I don't have the same.
Well, they would definitely. He would be made to look like he was wrong, or he was definitely at a man at a place at a time, right, speaking ignorantly. He definitely was put in his place, but with humor. And he had other things, like there was touching moments between him and his son-in-law, him and his daughter, right, him and Edith. So he was a very fleshed out character. It just wasn't him spouting ignorant,
right,
racist and right wing.
And am I propaganda. Right about this? Whenever he came in contact with, like, say, a black family or something, he loved them. Like, he was never like, get out of my house or
anything. No, but
like,
he would say things that were like very like, you know, like, right, eyebrow raising, right, and be like, are you for real? Kind of like.
Because the Jeffersons was a spinoff.
Yeah, there was,
right,
a neighbor. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and the original George Jefferson that was in, it wasn't the same one.
Herman Hensley.
Like, Sherman Hemsley was a different guy when they went to. Yeah, I watched an old episode the other day, and I was like, this dude was like not nearly, his praises were not nearly sung the way they should have been.
Yeah,
he was so. Everybody in the show was really good.
Yeah, that show was great. I remember that show way more than I remember All in the Family. I was he's a genius, man.
Yeah,
just
he's
such
really
an asshole.
Fucking funny.
Yeah.
So arrogant, the swagger.
So you say they're in talks to remake Married with Children.
That's what I heard, yes.
Could they go into talks to you? So you're saying, bro, I know a chance they would never remake All in the Family.
Oh, no, I think they could remake it. I just don't think it would be nearly as good.
No. But could they push the envelope the same way? Because the same things that are
they could do it on
the same exact talking points. Mm-hmm. That were built into the scripts for All in the Family, those have not gone away. They're still the same issues, basically.
Yeah, I think in these days they would have an episode about how Hindus are trying to take yoga back and pussy-ass college students are like, yeah, that's right, we shouldn't be stealing yoga. I think that they would – yes, like feminism was big – in that like Meathead was the biggest liberal of all time.
Yeah.
Just like kind of in Sanford and Son, like Lamont was quite liberal for, being like a black guy living in South Central.
I mean, well, it's absolutely – well, that's why it was so popular. Both shows is because the producers are smart enough to realize you're going to attract everybody. Mm-hmm. You're going to get people who identify with Meathead, Michael.
Right.
You're going to get the people who come just to laugh at Archie's ignorance, and you're going to get some people who are like,
go, Archie,
go! Archie, go! It's so funny to say at the same time. Get him, Archie, get him!
Guess which group I was in.
Did you guys know that the highest that Married with Children ever charted? Can you take a guess at how high it ever charted for one season?
I'm going to say it was early on because Steve was way better than the 10 McKinley. Remember Steve ran off to be a forest ranger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The episodes where he came back were fucking great, too.
Yeah. Those were the best episodes. The 10 McKinley shit I never really cared for. How high did it chart?
Like I said, debuted in 1987. The highest it ever charted would be 1991-92. So it had been on the air for 4 years when it got its highest charting as a show.
So Steve was probably gone by then.
Yeah.
Why the fuck would he leave?
I don't know.
I used to know the reason. I don't know why.
Money?
Doesn't always come down to money.
Usually money. They had an episode where they found out the secret fucking reason why Al's Burgers was so good is because he had ashes of like dead people.
Oh, that's right. They came out of that urn. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
That was the secret. Everybody loved his burgers.
Sitting there eating the burgers like, ooh, I got a bone. And he threw it away. I remember that.
It's fucked up, man.
I don't know.
What did you guess?
Okay, so at what place was the highest chart?
Like, yeah, it
top
charted
20, like it charted. 15, 10.
It was season 6, got its highest charting ever. This is as high as it ever achieved.
The way you're saying it makes me think it would be kind of low for a popular show, so I'll say 15.
Q?
11?
Bang.
I'll say 20.
29.
Whoa, really?
That's as high as it ever charted. Was the number 29 TV show of the year.
Wow.
Series lasted 11 years. 262 episode run makes it the longest lasting live action sitcom on the Fox network.
Wow. You know, they never gave it an ending. They never gave it a finale. It's season end there. They didn't know that it was his last episode.
Oh, so there's no like bow tie?
There's no bow tie on the series. Yeah.
Does anyone remember Psycho Dad? I never heard of that. No.
Because I mean, they didn't really give us a bow tie ending for comic book, if this turns out to be the last one. So,
Well, we'll probably come back with a very special episode. You know.
Well, we'll wrap it up in the movie.
Well, I mean, they didn't wrap up Deadwood. There's plenty of shit that didn't wrap up. So technically, The Sopranos was hardly wrapped up. Yeah, you know? That's
true. You didn't like The Sopranos, I think?
I didn't mind it.
It angered a lot of people, right?
It really did. To me, like, I was watching it. My brother and I watched it in a hotel room. And at the very end, spoiler alert, when no, we didn't fuck. it went to black. And I expected it to come back up to something like, you know, like a bloodbath or something like that. And it never did. And I was like, oh, that's weird. And the only thing I could think of was like, well, Bobby Bacala said, I think when it happens, like everything just goes black. They're out in that boat fishing. And he says that.
Yeah.
And that's what I kind of assumed. But I mean, people were so mad over something that it's like, you can't do anything about it. It is what it is, but they need that resolution. Otherwise, they fucking freak the fuck out. Deadwood was the same thing. Deadwood, I was disappointed because I was like, so wait, the fucking guy rides out of town and that's it? Like, what the fuck? But it was, you know, what's his name, Milch? Like, he wanted to do that stupid John from Cincinnati bullshit. Yeah.
And, well, they said recently that they may wrap it up with a movie.
I saw that. Yeah, that'd be rough, man. It's like 10 years later now.
Yeah, they all age so much.
That whole fucking town is knocked down.
Yeah, but still, I mean,
Ian's supposed to be on Game of Thrones.
One episode.
Yeah,
one episode. Yeah.
You guys want to do a quick commercial before we wrap it up for the next?
Yeah.
Somebody's asking, what was your favorite show finale?
Ever.
Ever of all time.
You know what had a great one? You're going to fucking laugh at me.
Mesh?
But a great one was 6 Feet Under.
Never saw it.
I couldn't even fucking get through 6 Feet Under.
I'm telling you, the last episode was spoiler alert, they showed you the death of every major character on the show. Like, the show ended with the daughter driving off to college, and then they just fast forwarded through time to the moment of death of all the main characters. Up until like 60 that's years in the good. Future. And so you saw how they all died. It was fucking really cool.
That's pretty good.
That's very appropriate.
Yeah.
That's
a lot of people are saying Breaking Bad.
Oh, Breaking Bad was a good one.
Yeah, that was a pretty good ending. I agree.
I guess I'll have to go with The Office. I think that's the only show I ever watched that had.
I hated the last couple seasons of The Office.
That was nice. The Wedding?
No, that wasn't the last one. Are you still not caught up? I thought the ending of The Office was so fucking stupid where they bring everybody – it's where they bring everybody on stage. You don't remember that?
No.
They bring everybody on stage and people ask them questions as if for the past 10 years they've been doing a documentary about this office and no one's ever seen any fucking footage. Okay. I was like, this is the most ridiculous. I fucking hate it. Once he left, once like
– Carella.
Carell left, I was like, this show's fucking done for. And even before that, it was like,
I didn't see the last few seasons.
They just do what, you know, like I got to say, the UK, they know how to fucking do TV.
Well, they're doing a movie based on Gervais' character. You know that?
Oh, are they?
Traveling the United States with his band.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're shooting it or it's shot.
Gervais already. Is the star?
Yeah, he's playing that character, good. David Brent, like on tour.
It's better than Ghost Dentist or whatever the fuck that movie was.
Ghost Dentist, you say?
Do you remember that? It was about, he was like...
Ghost Town.
He was a ghost town.
Well, it was a romantic comedy. I mean,
yeah, I remember you tried recommending that.
All right. So in 20, just like a little over 24 hours.
Yeah.
Over 24 hours, the Christmas special will be available. Q, where do people have to go again? TESD Xmas.
Wow.
You want to play a little clip?
Yes. Here we go.
Oh, you got to play a clip, man?
Here we go.
Sweet.
From there, Elisha.
We just fucking with people.
No, I got it.
We're expecting people to listen to us read Bible passages.
From there, wait Elijah till I, Wood of the Hobbit.
But wait till I tell you what it means and tell him Steve Dave language.
Okay. Wait, let him finish.
Initially, I understand your right. concern.
Okay. Listen, I have faith in you.
I'm concerned too.
Okay.
From there, Elisha went up to Bethel. While he was on the way, some young lads came out of the city and jeered at him. "Go up, bald head," they shouted. "Go up, bald head." The prophet turned and saw them, and he cursed them in the name of the Lord. Then two she-bears came out of the woods and tore 42 of the children to pieces.
Nice. It's pretty metal.
All right. That was about Elisha. Your story about Elisha.
Wow.
So TSD Xmas, go there. And I want a year from now, Q, if Curtis sends some talking points, are you up to do it for the third annual Curtis talking points?
I am, because I enjoyed this.
I thought you would. I really said to myself when I saw these, I was like, I bet you this is his golden years.
Yeah, it's right in there. What was a lot of memories.
Oh, your wonder years.
My wonder years. Right? A lot of memories come flooding back.
And I say, I knew you'd like it.
Yeah.
So you're in if Curtis is.
I am. Curtis,
sends him next year?
If you're still with us, Curtis, next year. And I hope you are now. Nice. You know, I wasn't on your team in the beginning of the episode, but now I'm there.
Yeah, he hopes this is real. He hopes this is legit.
Yeah.
Where does he live? What state? Is he in the country? Like in the United
States? He is an American.
Okay.
Do you think I would do this for an un-American?
No. No.
Definitely not, Archie.
Maybe – is there anything Thanksgiving-ish, Bri, you want – like, you know, you have before we – call it at night?
Not really.
You don't have to say you're thankful for anything. I mean, there's a lot to be thankful for. I mean, for everyone here, we don't want to go through a litany of all the things we probably are very thankful for.
There are two things that leap to mind, Sage and Tell 'Em Steve Dave. It really is like if we miss a week, it fucking drives me crazy. If we miss like more than a week, it starts going on 10 days. I literally start to feel like I need psychiatric treatment. But then like once I come here and we do this and laugh and get out all that like anxiety and fucking energy and shit, always makes me feel better. You know? So Sage and Tell 'Em Steve Dave are the two things, you know, that I would point at.
You know, my Aunt Ann for that Nintendo. you know what? As the older I get, Walt, the more I'm excited the fact that my whole family is still alive.
Healthy and everything. Yeah. Right? I mean, because, you know, I mean, I don't want to be morbid, but you never know.
You never know.
That next Christmas, I mean, next Thanksgiving, someone may not be at the table. So maybe.
Mostly,
So let's acknowledge never take it for granted who's at the table.
Yeah.
You never know who, especially as we're getting older.
Yeah, for sure.
What about you, Ming?
I'm thankful that I didn't fuck this up. So,
according to some people, you did. People,
well, you'll hear it later on, then. It'll be podcasted. But I'm thankful that everything seems to be working right now.
Yeah. When will we be replaying this? Is this next week's episode, or are we coming back next week?
I guess you know.
That's up to Q, right?
I'll be around next week.
You're going to be around next week? Maybe we'll drop
it. This guy just said he's going to kill himself if we miss an episode. I can't say when.
Well, we're definitely not dropping it before the Christmas episode.
No.
If we see nice numbers on that Christmas episode, then this comes out. Otherwise,
well, how is anybody going to know that, though? Because probably like three people are listening.
Yeah, why wouldn't we just release this anyway?
I'll tweet it.
That would be the really nice thing.
Yeah, this is the commercial for the Christmas thing.
Prior to.
I think we drop it tonight.
God damn this fucking phone.
Right? I agree. I'm with Q. I think that would be it's a real nice – it's like what a week for Tell 'Em Steve Dave listeners. Three episodes in 1 week.
Wow. Yeah.
Unheard of.
I mean that's something to be thankful
for. One that you
right?
have to pay for, but still it's three accounts.
Yeah. I mean
– So what's today? Wednesday? So what? We put this out tomorrow?
Yeah. Well, tonight.
Tonight.
Okay.
I think as soon as Declan has it in his little
bam,
hits,
upload it.
Yeah. You should upload it. And for all the aunts who weren't able to get on.
I can tell you one thing I'm not thankful for.
Hey, they don't celebrate out there. He doesn't care
about turkey. And
yeah, Irish, they don't celebrate.
He's got nothing to be thankful for either. So even if he did celebrate.
Right. Here's a picture, Q.
What the fuck?
Check that out.
What are we looking at?
Rick and Morty?
Yeah, Sage Reed in the Rick and Morty comic.
Nice.
You know what I've been into recently, man? It doesn't touch the like how smart Rick and Morty is, but Sanjay and Craig. You ever watch it? It's pretty good. It's
I've caught glimpses.
Kid and his talking snake. Hardwick plays the snake. The guy who plays Badger in Breaking Bad plays one of the characters.
Matt. Whatever his name.
I'll check it out.
That guy, yeah.
Matt Jones.
I actually enjoy it. As the series goes on, in my opinion, they rely a little bit too much on like fart humor and that kind of shit. But I think there's some pretty good stuff in it, Sanjay and Craig. I dig it. So that's it, right?
That's it.
You can look forward to rehearing this later on today. Uncut.
No, oh, yes.
Yeah, nothing objectionable.
No, and we made it through. I mean, even I thought for sure that you were going to try to push the envelope. And
no, I wouldn't do that to you.
Well, not to me. I knew I was. I knew there was. I mean, unless you were like had my arm around my back.
Well, when we first came on, I wasn't going to apologize to Precious. I was going to be like, well, they don't like to be called blank, and then I was going to say,
"Hello, Steve, Dave."
This has been a production of Smodco Internet Radio. Sir, only at smodcast.com.